We're 3 weeks away from the 2024 NFL Draft, and the smoke is getting mighty thick. Fred Perdue is going to come on to help us see through that smoke tonight from Boston. All that and more coming up next on the Draft Countdown Podcast. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Draft Countdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Brian Bosarge, joined as always by my co-host, Shane P. Hallam. Shane, we are 21 days, 22 hours, 58 minutes, 20 seconds away from the 2024 NFL Draft.
And things are heating up. We have a lot to talk about tonight, so I'm excited. We're finally in draft month. It is April, so we are in the last month stretch here.
3 weeks away, man. It's crazy. Still so much information to gather too in those 3 weeks. We're running out of time, but you're not running out of time if you haven't asked us a question yet. If you're watching along on YouTube there, drop us a question in the chat. We'll answer it at the end of tonight's show. If you're following along on X or Twitter, if you will, send us a question there at Draft Countdown, or you can go to our Discord channel and ask us a question there. We will answer it. We have two there already. We're going to get to at the end of the show. But if you're not a member of our Discord, well, you need to be. So go to draftcountdown.com. Top right corner of the search bar, there is a link to join up there.
Okay, we might get a little Discord college football 25 video game. Might get a little dynasty going. So if you want to hop in that, that'd be fun.
Yep. For those of you who are all about that next gen system, gaming system life, y'all get on that. I'll enjoy hearing about it from afar.
Yeah, you can go play your Tecmo Super Bowl still, Brian.
Hey, man.
It's great. It's still a great game.
It's still the best game. It's still the best football game ever made.
I can't deny it. So,
all right. Well, we've had some more trades, which means I get to continue my series of movie puns here. And it's Tradapalooza 4, Citizens on Patrol tonight. Shane, do you get that one?
No, I don't.
Anybody in the chat or watching along, do we get the Citizens on Patrol reference for the number 4 of trade up? Anybody? You're leaving me hanging.
We'll see. We'll see if someone gets it.
Yeah. So, all right. For those of you who are not fans of the old comedy series Police Academy, that was the title of the 4th Police Academy movie, Citizens on Patrol.
I liked Motor Mouth. So,
yeah. Classic stuff. All right. Yeah. Well, let's get on to those trades. We had one not so important one, I guess, earlier in the week when the Eagles sent edge rusher Hassan Reddick to the Jets in exchange for a 2026 third-round pick, conditional that can become a second if he plays 67.5% of the snaps this year and records 10 sacks. So we thinking we're getting a 3 out of this one, or is it going to stay a 2 in 26?
Yeah, I don't know if he's getting double-digit sacks here this year to bump it up. But yeah, I mean, it's still a big deal. I know it's kind of down the line a little bit, but it seems like the Jets just want to stock up that defense, and it's kind of Robert Saleh's thing. So it makes sense. The Eagles weren't going to be able to keep him. I'm fine with it. In 26, I'm sure that Jets fans will be sad they don't have that pick.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a top 100 pick, right? So, I mean, regardless. So, good on the Eagles for getting something out of nothing there. But, of course, the trade that everybody was abuzz about today Stephon Diggs, wide receiver formerly of the Bills, is on the move, heading to the Houston Texans. Texans give up the 2025 second-round pick that they acquired from Minnesota in the move back from 23 to 42 this year. Houston gets Diggs. They get a sixth-round pick in this year's draft and a fifth-round pick in the 25 draft. Shane, first thoughts on what this means for Houston?
I love the aggressive nature of Houston, right? They signed Danielle Hunter. They brought in Joe Mixon, signed him to an extension, added more depth on the offensive line and other defensive positions. And now, hey, you have C.J. Stroud in a rookie contract. This is the time to go for it, right? Spend the money. You had the money. Spend the picks. Bring in another weapon for him and Stephon Diggs, and we'll see how Diggs goes. I tweeted out, I think it's the best trio of wide receivers in the league now, right? Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. There's a lot of good duos, not a lot of good trios. That third receiver is lacking on some of those teams. This might be the best top three receivers. We'll see how Diggs kind of struggled at the end of last year. If this can pick him back up, I think the system will work better for him. And you're giving your young quarterback all the weapons he needs. They brought Dalton Schultz back. I mean, this offense could be one of the best in the NFL. I think it's the way to go. If it doesn't work out, when you have to sign Stroud to a big deal, do you start over, right? You rebuild, you start over. I think this is better than the Colts, who are, hoarding money for some reason. They allow Anthony Richardson is on his rookie deal, and you're going to get left behind. So I think it's worth a shot. A second-round pick in a year, I don't think it's a bad deal for the Texans.
And it's not even, like I said, it's not even their second-round pick. It's just, it was free house money they were playing with here to get Diggs. From the Buffalo side of things, it looks like this relationship had just soured beyond repair to the point where the Bills actually lost cap space on this trade. As they had, they saved $27 million on the cap by the trade, but he had $30 million dead cap hit, so they end up actually losing money on this deal. But it seemed like that relationship had gone south, right?
Yeah, it seemed like at the end of last year that was what was happening. They just had to ship him out, get what you can for him, because if more comes out or he's pouting or sitting this year, the value is going to go down. He's another year older. I think they have to take a receiver in the first round now. I think you're locked in, right? I mean, this is not a receiving group with Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuels that's looking too great for Josh Allen this year.
I do like Khalil Shakir. I like him coming out. But, yeah, I get the sentiment of what you're going with here. But that lets us plug what's happening next week on the podcast, Shane, as will the Bills draft a first round wide receiver in our staff mock? All five of us will be picking every pick of the first round next week live on the Draft Countdown podcast. So that's we always have a lot of fun with that. And I think everybody really likes listening to those and watching those. So we're going to see what happens next week, Buffalo and the such, and see what happens, right?
Yeah, I'm excited. I always like the staff mocks and the group mocks, and yeah, you get to pick for the Bills in that one, Brian. So you're
going to
make the choice.
So we'll see how the board shakes out, right? We'll see.
All right. Yeah, it'll be fun.
So those of you who may or may not have read it on Saturday, I did wrote a piece for Draft Countdown, basically asking the question: do we know how to evaluate quarterbacks? Because it certainly seems like we don't. And just in the last decade, right, there's been 32 quarterbacks picked in the first round. And I believe once Daniel Jones hits the bricks, there are going to be 11 of those 32 will be starting for the team that drafted him. That's not great.
No, I think your piece was really well done. People should check it out at Draft Count then if they haven't, because you definitely go in depth into looking at each of these from kind of a macro perspective into that micro perspective. It's a problem. I think there's so much that goes into quarterback evaluation that you don't get to see, that we don't get to see, that teams don't get to see. And as it gets talked about on Twitter all the time, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point in the show here too, this either this week or next week, but everyone pumps up these quarterbacks to go on the, you know, they're going to go high. We heard about Will Levis last year and Malik Willis the year before that, because we see the need. So many teams need a quarterback because it doesn't work out. They make the bad draft picks. And teams either are willing to, as you pointed out in your article, you know, reach maybe on players, someone like a Mac Jones, who, let's be honest, probably shouldn't have been a first-round pick, right, going in. But that need was there. He had success. It's hard to look at his resume. It's hard to look at a resume of a J.J. McCarthy, won a national championship, lost one game in college. Like, it's hard to look at that and say, this guy, it's hard to not take him when you don't have, when the cupboard is bare with what you have in the room. And I think that's part of the issue. This team's kind of talked themselves into these quarterbacks. But the other, you know, the other side is, if you're a GM, you're a head coach, you don't take a quarterback and you wait, and you wait another year, you're fired before you even ever got your guy. So, you know, you have to take him. And we've seen some GMs be able to survive drafting a bust. Not many can, but you certainly aren't going to survive if you're just trotting old guys out there that can't play. Like, it's not going to happen. So I think that's the other side of the coin too. I think sometimes we get into the mode of NFL, the NFL teams, like, the goal is to win a Super Bowl. And I would say it's not the goal for most of these coaches, for most of these GMs. The goal is to keep your job. That's goal number one. Winning a Super Bowl will do that, but it's really hard to do. So if you can keep your job in other ways, that's what I think makes taking these quarterbacks a little bit easier to swallow, and taking the chance. Because if you hit, or even like kind of semi-hit, then you can keep your job and keep going.
Yep. Great note. You know, I had in the article, Dante Kopelowitz Fleming said in 21 and 22, there were 19 quarterbacks selected in the NFL draft. Only two of those 19 are expected to start in week one. The first pick of the 21 draft and the last pick of the 22 draft. Trevor Lawrence for Jacksonville and Brock Purdy for the 49ers.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, the Brock Purdy story itself was still just nuts that even happened. They're really lucky that hit as well as it did.
Yep. I got some more numbers. We're going to get to those. We'll come back to the we'll get to those numbers here. When we come back after we get talking with Fred here, because he's in the green room waiting. So let's bring him in now. He is the co-host of the College Football Overdrive podcast, and he's a good friend of the show. He is Fred Perdue, man. Fred, how you doing tonight?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Hey, Fred.
We're doing great. We're excited. Your team, one of the key figures here in that first round, so that's why we wanted to have you on tonight and kind of help us, guide us through what they're thinking, man. And so I'm looking at it like this, and tell me if I'm wrong here. I feel like there's four realistic options here for New England. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels, quarterback in LSU, Drake May, mm-hmm. quarterback North Carolina, J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback Michigan, or trading out. Rank those four how you want it to go, and rank those four in order of likelihood for New England.
First off, Jaden Daniels is out. I'm sorry. I'm not sold. I know, Shane, you love him. I can't. Drake May, I'm slowly falling away on. The mechanical issues of feet just bother me. Accuracy issues of galore. And the crazy thing is with him, it's simply – at the end of the day, he was still the best player available on their team. If he's not there, they're a 3 or 4 win team. Trading out is an option. Marvin Harrison Jr. is hard to go away from. So I would say Marvin Harrison Jr. would definitely be the best option here. Trading out is probably second. I know it's blasphemous to say that to Patriot Nation because we need a quarterback, but Drake May is third, and by default, Jaden Daniels is four.
What do you think will happen then, Fred? That's kind of what you would do. Now look at it from a prognosticating what's going to happen in the NFL draft. What do you think is the likeliest scenario, least likely scenario, for what the Patriots actually will do?
Quarterback is where it's at. If you don't have one, you're, as we've seen, whether it's Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, anybody not named Tom Brady over the last couple of years, you're not in contention. And in a division where everybody else seemingly has a quarterback, whether it's Tua, Josh Allen, who keeps losing weapons, or old man Rodgers, everybody has somebody. We don't have anybody. You have to take a swing at quarterback, especially now when you have a premium pick. Drake May's the option, is probably the best option. Jaden Daniels is just a home run. If he's available, he's the home run swing, because if you're aiming for the fences, he has all the tools to be Lamar Jackson-esque. You can't really go wrong with either. I think both would sit, but that would definitely be the best option, his quarterback.
I noticed you're conspicuously not saying anything about the other quarterback I mentioned, J.J. McCarthy.
Yes, I purposely left him out. Shane, I know you definitely want to leave him out. J.J. McCarthy, for me, it's not that I don't think he's capable. I just haven't seen enough to warrant him being the third pick overall.
I mean, that's fair. I completely agree. I have a second or a late second round grade on him currently right now.
Oh, you're so generous. You're very generous. I was thinking
I'm much lower on him than my compatriot Shane is.
Look, I have come around on McCarthy after going back in, and like during the season, I didn't think much of him, but going back in and watching, you know, his third down plays percentages, third and long plays, are some of the best in college football. I have a late first grade on him. Like, he's going to go higher than that, I would imagine. Let's talk next tier for you. Let's say the Patriots trade down or maybe take Marvin Harrison Jr. like you want. What about kind of the next two on the list? Both are getting first round buzz and hype now, right? Bo Nix from Oregon, Michael Penix Jr. after his great pro day workout, ran in the 4.5s after those knee injuries from Washington. How do you evaluate those two players, Fred? And do you think either one of those would be a fit with the Patriots?
So the thing I think New England wants to keep is a similarity of offense. I necessarily don't think you should. I think you should probably be a little bit more forward thinking with what they want. Alex Van Pelt, you saw what he did in Cleveland. They're pushing the ball down the field a little bit more. Michael Penix is the better player, but his body doesn't say that. Bo Nix, we've had this conversation. I did not believe in Bo Nix for about 3.5 years. And I still believe somebody else is under that helmet. That's not Bo Nix. That was somebody else. That's somebody's imposter. Because for 3.5 years, I saw a different person. But Bo Nix has shown me, I think you can't go wrong with either. Michael Penix throws the ball down the field a little bit better, accurate at all three levels. I think he could, his age, it's not his age, it's his body. It's the lateral quickness. It's not necessarily straight line speed that bothers me. It's his knees. Do I really want to give you even a second round pick? Is that worth 4 to 7 years? I'm not sure. Bo Nix, we just didn't know, could he throw the ball down the field, really? I mean, what they did at Oregon doesn't really completely translate to the league, but it's enough. I've seen enough tools that maybe I pull the trigger on Bo Nix. And I think Bo Nix might be the better prospect long term.
I mean, that could be fair, I guess. I've just got a note here, and it's why I like the trade down as being the best. I don't know how far you would want to go down. Mm-hmm. I think the farthest is Minnesota with their 2-1s or whatever. More likely maybe the Giants at 6 coming up, if that mm-hmm. is indeed the case. But I wrote down here the Patriots roster's in bad shape. I mean, this ain't a quarterback away team, right?
No.
So to me, just stacking picks is probably what they should be doing, right?
The Belichick way, definitely. If any time, this is the time to stack the picks, build the team around. I'd even have living down here in Tampa. I remember a certain weapons for Winston kind of approach. Go get the weapons and then surround that player surround that team with that quarterback. That may be the option. There's a lot of holes to fill. And it's not just receiver. It's not just running back. It's not just tight end. It's across the board. Really, the cupboard is bare until at everywhere except the secondary.
So, you know, I think the Patriots were almost more to me than the Bears and the Commanders are in that mm-hmm. kind of full rebuild, which absolutely. Maybe leaves some of those options on the table. I'm going to switch gears. You are a Miami Hurricanes fan, so I'm going to talk mm-hmm. about some of these Hurricanes prospect. I would say it's been a rough offseason for the Miami Hurricanes prospects in this draft, right? I mean, Leonard Taylor. Yeah. Cameron Kinchins with a pretty very poor workout. James Williams, I thought was going to work out better. What's kind of your evaluation of those? Are kind of the top three to me from Miami. Kind of your evaluation of those players, and do you think this, you know, this offseason hurts them?
Yeah, Leonard Taylor. I said it, and I told you, we text all the time, Shane. His motor runs hot and cold, and when it's hot, it's hot. When it's cold, it's ice cold. And he lacks effort. I mean, the hands, and it's game to game. It's infuriating, actually, because such a talented player just doesn't produce with the God-given ability that he has. I look at what he should be and what he hasn't really done. He was very much disappointing. Cam Kitchens, you asked me a question, Shane, about 2 years ago. You said, is Cam Kitchens going to be that next Miami safety? And I told you, I don't think he is. I don't think he's athletic enough. I don't think he'll test well. And he had an All-American season last year or 2 years ago. And that looks great, but when you see him test, it's like, oh, he's the guy I remember giving up the deep ball against Georgia Tech. That's the guy I see every time. And he is exactly what you thought he'd be. I didn't think he'd be a first rounder, maybe a second rounder. He might plummet even further than that. And James Williams, they finally figured out how to use him, but he's just not the athlete we thought he would be. The big 6'5" safety. He's embraced playing linebacker now. If you want to say that now, if any time this is the time, he's gonna have to put some weight on and probably play some special teams to really get some real legitimate snaps. He's not Sean Taylor. I know everybody wants to take every big Miami safety and say he's Sean Taylor. I remember Ray Ray Armstrong years and years ago. They tried to make him the same guy. Almost the same mold of player, just didn't turn out to be what it was. What we thought he'd be, just not the athlete we thought.
I'm glad you brought up James Williams. He was one of the guys I was really looking forward to at the Senior Bowl, and same. Just because I knew he was going to convert to the linebacker, and he just looked completely lost out there. And mm-hmm. it, 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 and he looked like he was getting just out-athleted on the practice field, and then you see his testing numbers. Kenshin's the same way. He struggled at the Senior Bowl, and it seems like it's just been a downward spiral for him this entire offseason, from Mobile to Indy to whatever it was at his pro day. It's just been bad on top of bad on top of bad, and I think he's a day three pick now. I don't think he goes in round two or three. I think he falls to day three. I mean, this was a weak safety class that he had a chance to separate from, and he just got worse.
Yeah, he got worse. And like I said, I think he is a lot of what we saw again in that the Georgia Tech game was basically everything we thought he'd be all in one. And that was a bad game for everybody. But how do you let somebody get behind you if you're this? He'll knock your head off, but what else? Every Miami safety can do that. I mean, you can go down the line, all of them do that. Can you cover somebody? Do you have the foot speed? I don't know what went wrong, but Cam Kitchens is not who I wanted him to be. And maybe down the line you guys will see another Miami safety, but right now those two guys – they are not up to par.
Two more Miami prospects I want to hit on the offensive line that mm-hmm. kind of intrigued me. Javian Cohen, the Alabama transfer, mm-hmm. had, I thought, a good Senior Bowl week. Workouts were decent. And then Matthew Lee, who I didn't think too much of, had a really good workout. Green Raz score, the whole nine yards. What do you think about their pro prospects, maybe potential draft range for both of those players?
We'll start with Cohen. I thought coming in, I didn't know what he would be. He left Alabama because he wanted to be a tackle and came to a place where they develop offensive linemen, or at least to a coaching staff where they develop offensive linemen. Coach Mirabal and Coach Cristobal, they develop them. I mean, you see what they're doing with their guys that are now in Detroit. And Powers Johnson, also another one, a Cristobal legacy guy from Oregon that he left at Oregon. Those guys tend to be pretty good. He stayed on the interior, which I think was the best move. Even Coach Saban kind of told you, look, you're not good enough to play on the outside. It's okay. You'll make a lot of money playing on the inside. Had a very good season, had a very good workout. Matt Lee, the transfer from UCF, also he was a big shot in the arm for the team, and his workout was really good. Really one of those guys that can be a starter and definitely anchor a team for years to come, for sure. I was not expecting the workout to be great. I figured he'd just be solid and potentially give a team a shot in the arm, or maybe be a developmental guy. But he definitely exceeded everything all the expectations that he had.
I'm glad to talk about Matt Lee, because I had wrote him down to talk about, because I went back and watched his game against Florida State, and I thought, against that defensive line and against Braden Fisk, I thought he more than held his own and had a great game that week as well. Is there anybody else from the U that we might need to have on our radars for this year's draft cycle?
This year's draft cycle, absolutely not. Next year we might have there might be some offensive linemen for you, but this year, this Canes team has been fairly average. Down the line, you guys may have some very good defensive linemen, the Mezzadores of the world. In two years, you may have the Reuben Baines of the world. But right now, as it currently stands, my Canes have not a lot to give to the NFL, unfortunately.
Dang,
that's not good.
No deep sleeper there. Well, let me open it up then for you, Fred. I always like to ask the guests if you have any sleepers, any, you know, players, maybe day three free agent guys that you've watched and been really impressed with that you want to kind of get out there into the world. I always love giving you the soapbox to do that.
Guys that I like, I've been intrigued by the wide receiver group this year. Shane, we've been talking about receivers. I mean, back and forth. It's very top heavy. I think a lot of the receivers are, lack of better words, body catchers. Running backs. Actually, I'll say this. Dylan Lobb caught my attention before the Senior Bowl. Very much in the Danny Woodhead mold. And when I saw him, I was like, man, that's Danny Woodhead right there. I mean, it was instant. It was literally instant, and everybody got a chance to see him. You guys got a chance to see him in the Senior Bowl. Quarterback for me, I thought Michael Pratt, Tulane, might be a guy. Definitely might be a guy for you guys as far as sleeper quarterbacks. You guys kind of figured out about Quinion Mitchell really early. So he's no longer a well-kept secret anymore. So, but yeah, definitely the Dylan Lobb, the running back.
That's fair. You kind of get everybody's attention when you have 290 receiving yards in a game.
Exactly.
Against an FBS opponent.
Exactly.
All right. So last question, we'll leave you with this. Clock expires on pick 3. What has happened?
With the 3rd pick, the New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback. I have to live with it. I may want to trade down, but I'm not pulling the trigger, but definitely Drake May at quarterback. You gotta have one, and you gotta go get after somebody else's. So go ahead and fill step 1 of that.
There you go. Write it down in Sharpie, baby. Drake May to the Pats. Fred, man, appreciate you coming on. Tell everybody where they can follow you and find your stuff.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. You guys can find me on Twitter, FredPurdueCFB. You can also follow the show, CFB Overdrive, with me and my guy, Rick Brown. Going to be revamping some things, and we'll be back with you guys coming right after spring practices. We'll be right back on things with you guys there.
Sounds good, man. We appreciate you coming on, and we'll see what happens. 3 weeks,
definitely, guys.
3 weeks from tomorrow.
Three weeks from tomorrow. Go Patriots.
Enjoy.
That was Fred Purdue, the College Ball Overdrive podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Fred Purdue CFB. Good guy.
Yes, he is hard on those quarterbacks. He always texts me, and I feel like he hates everyone. So
he hates everybody.
I know. I try to.
I thought I was bad.
Take the rose yourself. But look, he has high standards, and your piece that you wrote on the quarterbacks, he's probably right, right? He probably right. Should be tougher on these guys. So Fred's probably on to something there.
All right. So let's get back into that, because I had a few more numbers I wanted, because I got bored on Sunday. So I was like, you know what? The first year I watched the NFL draft was 1990. That's probably goes back a bit further than you do, Shane, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can remember 4 years.
All right, I went to the first round. So you know what? Let's just look at the top 5. Let's look at the hit rate for each spot, 1 through 5. So obviously number 1, since 1990, so we're going back, what, 33 years?
Yeah.
I'm old. And then I said that out loud, that I am old. There's been 21 quarterbacks drafted at the first overall pick. I had a potential hit rate of 16 out of 21. I had 5 that I could go ifs or downs on, but they are Jeff George. I meant with the Colts, because that's who drafted him.
Okay, with the team that drafted
with the team
him.
Let's say
Jeff George's career, I think, was good enough.
Okay,
fair.
Drew Bledsoe, good.
Yeah, good.
93, 98, Peyton Manning, obviously.
Yeah.
1999, Tim Couch. I don't know, where do you go with that?
No. Okay. No, I think Tim Couch is the bust.
01, Michael Vick.
I'd say it was good.
I did too. 02, David Carr.
No, not his fault, but no.
Didn't work out. 03, Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Good. 04, Eli Manning. Obviously.
Obviously, 05, as long as you don't knock him for getting drafted by the Chargers, unless you want to.
I didn't dock him on that.
Okay, there you go.
We're getting to the third overall pick, Tommy. And I'm going to take this one. Let's pick it. 05, Alex Smith. I said yes.
Yeah, I think that was good.
07, Jamarcus Russell. Obviously, no.
Yikes.
09, Matt Stafford.
Great.
Yes. 2010, Sam Bradford.
It's on the line.
I said no.
Okay, that's fair.
Because of the contract and the injuries, because this is before the rookie cap.
Right.
Fair. And matter of fact, he was the last one from the non-rookie cap era.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the rookie cap era. 2011, Cam Newton.
Yep.
Yes.
Good.
Andrew Luck in 2012.
Good.
Yes. 2015, Jameis Winston. I said no.
No, yeah, probably no.
2016, this is where I was kind of like, it's Jared Goff.
I think he's a yes.
He's been good, but he wasn't good with the Rams.
I mean, right? They went to the Super Bowl. What did they? I mean, yeah.
Okay, all right. That's,
they went to the Super Bowl. Yes. I feel like it's pretty good.
All right, 18, Baker Mayfield.
No.
Not for the Browns, but not I think he's Browns. Better now. 19, Kyler Murray. I said yes.
Yes, TBD, right? Yes.
Right. 20, Joe Burrow. Yes.
Yes.
21, Trevor Lawrence. Are we TBD on this one?
I think TBD leaning yes, right? I mean,
right.
He's taken them further than I think a lot of teams would kill for Trevor Lawrence.
Yep. And 23, Bryce Young, we'll see.
We'll see.
All right. So second
overall. That's not bad. First overall pick's not bad.
The number one overall pick might be where to do it.
Right.
Because the number two overall pick, I got a 2 out of 9.
Oh, no.
We have not had a lot of success going back 34 years here. 1993, Rick Meyer. Sorry, Scott. He was ass.
Wow.
1998, Ryan Leaf.
Maybe one
of the most well-documented failures in draft history.
Yeah.
1999, Donovan McNabb. Yes.
That is a yes.
All right. We don't have another quarterback picked second overall for 13 years. 2012, when it's Robert Griffin III.
I guess that's
I said no. The injuries is another one that kind of took him out. Right. 15, Marcus Mariota.
No,
work out. 2016, Carson Wentz. I said no, but
I'd almost give it a yes for, man, it's tough. I mean, he was that Super Bowl year that he got hurt. I mean, he got hurt, but he is having an MVP season.
Right.
Like, he played well for the Eagles.
They're not in the playoffs, right?
Right. I mean, they're not sniffing close. That's a tough one.
So we could go yes on that one and be 3 out of 9. We're still
right. It's still not good. It's still not good.
2017, Mitchell Trubisky.
No.
No. 21, Zach Wilson.
No.
No. And 2023, I think we cannot get the juries out. CJ Stroud, we're already.
Let's give me yes. I mean, at least for now.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to the third overall pick. We have another 2 out of 9 hit rate.
Oof.
1994, Heath Shuler. No.
No.
1995, Steve McNair.
Big obviously. Yes.
1999, instead of taking all the Saints draft picks, the Bengals take Akili Smith.
I'm sure Brian was excited for that one.
Brian was not excited at all. 2002 is Joey Harrington.
Yikes. No.
2006, Vince Young.
I got no. I mean,
I said no as well.
He won Rookie of the Year. It's crazy.
It was kind of downhill after that, though, right?
It was all downhill after that. Right.
So 2008, Matt Ryan. Yes.
Yes.
14, Blake Bortles.
No.
18, Sam Darnold.
No, not for the no.
And 21, Trey Lance.
Oh God, big.
So
no.
So we're solidly 2 out of 9 on that one.
That's solid 2 out of 9.
Okay, so at the fourth overall pick, since 1990, we've only had two quarterbacks drafted at the fourth overall pick. 04, Philip Rivers.
That's a big yes.
That's a big yes. 2023, Anthony Richardson.
TBD. We'll see.
TBD. So, not a whole lot of history there. And it's also not a whole lot of history at the fifth overall pick, where in 05, we had Kerry Collins. I think so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think
that. 09, we had Mark Sanchez. That's a big no. Right?
Oh yeah, that's okay. A huge deal.
And 2020 Tua Tagovailoa, which I think so.
Yeah, I think, you know, leaning yes.
So it's it was fascinating stuff just to look at. This is what happens when I get bored and I just start looking at NFLDraftHistory.com. So the key is drafting the quarterback number one overall. You have a less likely chance of screwing it up.
So. Right, which I think makes sense, right? I mean, you are getting the first choice. There is a quarterback worth number one overall, which I think is also the key. And we've seen these first quarterback go a two or a three, really not good enough to go one, right?
It kind of tells you. It kind of tells you about some of those guys, right? So, I don't know. I kind of now maybe if I get. Maybe if I get bored again coming up soon or something, I might look at the non-quarterbacks that in that same period of time that got drafted number one overall and see what the hit rate was on those guys, because then maybe it's like
– I bet it's also really good. I bet
it's also really good. It could be. It could be. You may be right.
Yeah. There's a couple if you want
to. I'll throw something in here, and maybe if I have time on this one. So I would love to see the hit rate on the mid two to four round four round – rounds two to four quarterbacks got to be very low, no doubt.
Right, and that's the thing. And everyone says, "Well, wait, take one in the second or take one in the third." I mean, that hit rate's probably worse than three overall, than two out of nine, right? Because you have a much bigger sample size, and they barely ever hit. I mean, even a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, I wouldn't say was a hit for the Patriots per se as a franchise quarterback. But that's probably as good as you know you're going to get in that second, third, fourth round. It's really hard to find that quarterback. Like Brock Purdy's not coming around the corner every year for your team,
right? And that's just, I mean, a matter of fact, I'd say a seventh round quarterback is probably the lowest hit rates on these, right?
The problem is, Patty, people look at the current starting quarterbacks in the NFL and say, well. You know, there's a lot more non-first-round picks than first-round picks. You're not taking into account the 98% of the other quarterbacks taken in the drafts that never start a game or start a season. It's just so hard to get that hit.
And not to mention, a lot of those quarterbacks are starting in the NFL suck.
Right.
So, I mean, you've got to factor that in, too. I don't know. It was fun. Anyway, everybody go back at draftcountdown.com and read that. It was a lot more good stuff like that. And I kind of go into a handful of reasons on why a lot of these first-round quarterbacks just fail. I mean, maybe it's not always their fault. But anyway, it was good stuff. That was good stuff. Great. All right, Shane, I got a couple of to fill out a little time here. I said, let's put Shane on the spot.
All right.
What a couple questions here.
Okay.
So, we're 3 weeks out. Give me one bold prediction for the NFL draft 3 weeks out. Just one. The boldest of the bold.
The boldest of the bold? Man, that's tough on the spot. I think it's difficult. I can't even get off the safe tag on mock draft database. You want me to pull
can't out do a
bold prediction, you know? All right, look, I'll make a bold prediction. I don't know how much. Yeah, a running back goes in the first round.
A running back goes in the first round.
How about that? Yeah, you wanted the boldest of the
bold. That is bold, baby.
That's my bold prediction.
Okay, let's follow up on that. Who is it and where?
I think Trey Benson has a legitimate shot to go. You know, I got to revisit his film a little bit recently. I think with the 4.39 speed, you know, the 98th percentile, whatever athlete that he is, I think he could go. We saw the success of Jahmyr Gibbs last year, success of Bijan Robinson last year. You know, I think there are teams maybe in that back end of, you know, of the draft that could look at, okay, this is maybe more important. Like, it wouldn't surprise me, right, if a Dallas at 24 takes Trey Benson in the first round. Now, I imagine Cowboys fans wouldn't be super happy with that, right? But I think it's a real possibility. Or, you know, maybe Arizona at 27. Maybe they want to focus a little more on that position than we're giving them credit for. So, am I going to put that in my final mock draft? Probably not. But I think we could sit here on draft day and see a running back, see Trey Benson specifically go in the first, and it wouldn't surprise me. And I think it could definitely happen. So I think when you have a player like him who is a receiving threat, is multifaceted, that's where teams are willing to maybe spend that high capital.
So if that happens, is he like the 101 in these rookie drafts, or is he like?
No, I mean, not in this receiver class. Okay. I mean, you know, Harrison Neighbors, and that I was doing Zayn still go above him. But after that, yeah, I think he probably would go fourth.
I was expecting bold, but I was not expecting that bold.
There you go. There's bold.
I can't remember if it's next weekend or whatever. I'm going to have a column coming out where I'm going to do 5 bold predictions for the NFL draft. I can tell you I'm not going that bold.
Okay. Like, look, you told me the boldest of the bold. I had a pull it out.
So, not counting the trades for picks we've already seen, over under 5.5 trades on night one.
So I think a lot of this depends on if we get more trades in the next couple of weeks. Like, I think there's a real possibility, right, if Minnesota is going to move up, it's going to happen before day one. If it doesn't, I'm going to go over. I think we get them. And I think it might even be like last year where you have like the Steelers did, move up 2 picks. Right, for a player. I think we're going to have a lot of that again. Move up a couple picks, take this guy, move down a couple picks, just move around the board slightly to make sure they get their player. Because I think when we have a lot of teams that need offensive tackles and wide receivers, that's where you kind of need a jockey for position to get your guy a little bit.
Kind of in that vein, are you buying or selling that people were just like trying to offload these 5th, 6th, 7th round picks because of the depth of this draft is perceived to be not great?
Yeah, I think teams are willing to put those picks in as sweeteners to a deal for that very reason, because the depth's not great. You're going to get the same quality of player as a priority free agent that you're probably getting in the 5th or 6th round. And I think teams are seeing that, especially when you're looking at special teams players, et cetera. I think a lot of teams are filled out. You know, I probably like the younger guys on their taxi squad futures contracts more than the end of this draft class.
It's fair. All right. I think it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to see a lot of trades that night one, and be fun. Shane, you get to use the little bell and stuff. We
Oh no. Yeah. I missed it like one the first time. I was like, oh, I gotta get the bell going.
The practice. Yeah, man. You're in charge on night one, man. You gotta have the soundboard ready to go.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to get on that. All right, I'm in.
Let's answer some questions. We had a couple in the Discord, we got a few in the chat, none on Twitter that I saw. So we'll don't have to look there, but let's go to the Discord first. And had one from Bubba Long, one of our favorite listeners here, sent one in the other day. And because it's been a hot topic for those people who actually watch basketball too. That's not us, Shane, but there are people that do it.
Yeah,
and they've been asking about NC State basketball player DJ Burns. Jim Nagy tweeted out, started a firestorm. He's 6'9", probably listed at 6'9", probably about 6'7", but 275. 22 years old, doesn't have an NBA future. There appears to be real interest in him getting a workout before the draft. So I have a couple questions. Is he eligible for the draft, or wouldn't he have had to declare already? Is this a supplemental draft situation, or is this just he signs as a free agent? I don't know how that works. One.
So it would have to be a supplemental draft situation for him to go this year to the draft. He would have had to declare. We saw with some of the international guys, you know, as a free agent, you have to have a number of years past high school that he does not have. So, so it would have to be a supplemental draft situation, which, you know, could happen ultimately.
Yeah. So we've seen this in the past with basketball players who don't have an NBA future. And they have success in the NFL. Obviously most famously Antonio Gates,
right.
From Kent State basketball to one of the best tight ends to ever play football. More recently, from a team that doesn't even play football, I think George Mason is where Mo Alie-Cox, if I'm correct here, came from basketball to football. And he's had a modest amount of success for the Colts. He's been there, what, 5 or 6 years now? So, I mean, he's hung around. Had some success. Is this a situation similar to that, you think? Or, you know, and well, let me go back. Both of those guys are tight ends. We're talking this guy playing offensive tackle. This is not something I recall ever happening. You?
Not successfully from basketball to offensive tackle. I can't recall that. I think, to me, the main issue is the athleticism. Not that he's not an athletic player, but, you know, when Bubba asked this question, I was like, let me go, you know, let me I'll pop on, you know, just I'll look at highlights on YouTube. I don't think he's going to excel in the vertical leap. Let me say that, despite the height, you know, I think the explosiveness isn't there to necessarily play tight. He has the footwork for sure, but I don't think explosiveness is there. I mean, is it someone he could bring into a camp, maybe bring in, you know, sign as a free agent and be in those initial cuts? I think that's a possibility, but I think it's I think sometimes NFL GMs as well get a little too excited about these types of projects, right? If you want to talk about hit rate, it's probably pretty low, even if the hits are really good. We talk about some of these other sports, the NFL, the big hits, but probably just got a little too excited.
That's fair. I mean, I like to see it. I like to see, you know me, I do love me some conversion projects. So we'll see what the future holds for Mr. DJ Burns. Dynasty Eeyore in the Discord asks, do we see Baltimore or Kansas City taking a day one or day two wide receiver?
I don't think Baltimore will. I think taking Zay Flowers last year, it doesn't necessarily take them out of it, but I just don't think it's the offense is still prioritizing a ton of wide receiver depth. Maybe they take one, you know, day two at the earliest. I think the Chiefs definitely could. You know, Hollywood Brown was just signed to a 1-year deal. That's it. So I think we could certainly see the Chiefs want to, you know, add to that room, right? I mean, the Rashee Rice legal issue that is looming, I don't think it's going to be, you know, super bad, but he could get suspended for a couple games. You have Hollywood Brown. I mean, what else do you have? I mean, Sky Moore's been a bust. Kadarius Toney's been a bust. Justin Ross is not going to play football. It's just that he's just not going to work out. So I think they're still hurting a wide receiver. It wouldn't surprise me to see Kansas City take one if someone falls to that last pick in the first round.
I'm going to be honest. I think they may just go somewhere else in the first round and maybe come back to it a little bit later. Yeah, but I'm with you on Baltimore. I don't know that they're going to – I mean, they feel like they've been investing a lot in that position. So,
I mean, you look at the depth chart, it's pretty bad. I mean, Zay Flowers, that's about it. I mean, Rashad Bateman, I think, has been a bust. Nelson Aguilar is, I think, their number three.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll see. Gav asked, how do we look at the international pathway program, guys? So there's some strong signals we could have the next Jordan Mulata situation with some of the lower picks. I have no idea how many of these guys are in the program. Other than a few of them, I know the Welsh rugby guy signed with as a free agent with Kansas City, so he's not in the draft. But there was like a British boxer or something that also played rugby that I saw working out last week.
Yeah, there's three of the international players are eligible for the draft. Travis Clayton, who's the rugby boxer that you mentioned, who I watched a little bit. He has kind of intriguing short area quickness. Definitely intriguing. And then probably my favorite is Baron Matos of the Dominican Republic.
Oh, yes. I saw somebody talking about him the other day.
Played basketball at USF and actually played on the football team briefly at USF as special teams, like jumping off the block field goals because he's 6'9". I mean, I think he definitely has the athleticism. And then so I watched those two. The third one is on my list is Jotham Russell of Australia. I don't know his background yet, but I'll be getting into him before the draft happens for sure.
Well, there you go. So hopefully that's fun. I mean, it's fun when those guys succeed, right? It expands the game internationally. I know a lot of people hate it when they play, playing the games in London and Germany or whatever. A lot of fans hate it. I love it because it means there's games on all day.
Yeah, right.
I mean, why are you bitching when you got a game on at 8 o'clock in the morning all the way to 11 o'clock at night? It's awesome. I don't know why people complain about that sort of thing. But yeah, I'm not a season ticket holder either. That's losing out on a home game. So.
and I appreciate Gav's been on it on Twitter about getting which guys are eligible, and he's been helpful to me for that. So I appreciate that.
So we had looks like we had a couple in the chat. James Rowe from Facebook said, is Nix at 12 and Penix at 13 looking more realistic? Denver picking 12th, Penix 13th. That is the Raiders?
Yeah.
Realistic for you, I'm going to say no.
I mean, the hype is growing, right? Nix is the consensus pick at 12 in mock draft database now. So
that's wild, right?
Right. I tweeted this out. I still don't see them going even in the first round. I think we do this every year. We do this all the time, just pumping up these second round, third round quarterbacks. It could happen. Those teams are certainly needy. Like Denver and the Raiders certainly need a quarterback. But like I don't think they're going to reach on Nix and Penix in the top 15. I'll say again, we've never had four quarterbacks go in the top 9. Could happen this year. Everyone seems to expect it. I am not so sure that we have four quarterbacks go in the top 9 this year, even as much as the hype gets there. And then we get the draft day, right? And J.J. McCarthy falls to 11, and the Vikings just take him, and Nix and Penix go day 2. Like, that could very easily happen. I would say it's still unlikely for Nix and Penix. I'd say it's very unlikely Nix and Penix both go in the top 15. Maybe one sneaks in the back end of the first round. But I think teams are getting smarter at quarterback than they used to be. Like, I don't think Lamar Jackson I think if teams had the information they have today, I don't think Lamar Jackson goes to 32. I think he goes later. Now, in today's NFL, Lamar Jackson would go higher, but I don't think he had the profile necessarily to be a first-round pick. I think teams are getting smarter at the quarterback position to look at those profiles. And then when they haven't, say the Pittsburgh Steelers or Kenny Pickett, guess what? It hasn't worked out when you haven't followed what profile should go in the first round.
That's fair. If that was to happen, it would be the first time that's ever happened, right? It'd be six quarterbacks in the top 13.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be the first time that's ever happened. And even if it's just one at 12, like say the consensus is correct and we get Knicks to 12 at Denver, that would be the first time since 1999, I believe, we've had five quarterbacks taken in the top 12. The fifth quarterback that year was Cade McNown. Not great.
Yeah.
Not great. So I'm with you. I think for sure we're going to have four of the top 11. Because if McCarthy doesn't go in the top nine, it's Minnesota at 11.
Right? I'm still not saying for sure, though. It's not 100%, right? I mean, he could go 23, right?
That would be more palpable to me than where he's actually going to go, probably.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would assume that he'll go 11. That's probably where I'll have him in my final mock draft if the Vikings don't trade before then. But, I don't know. I remember the Brady Quinn year. Like, he was never getting out. You know, his floor was 10 or 11. He falls to the 20s. Like, it happens for any position, but especially quarterback now. We'll see.
Last question tonight goes to Tommy, who I think's already checked out. But he said, could New England take Marvin Harrison and then move back up into the first and take Penix? I guess that is possible, but I think in a scenario like this, it would be they've moved back from three to, say, six, and they take Odunze or Neighbors and then get Penix or Nix at the top of the second round.
Right. I mean, I think it would be Harrison. They take Harrison at three. And at 34, if what we're saying, if Penix or Knicks aren't going in the first round, then one of them, then you could probably get that guy at 34. Like, we, you know, obviously someone can always trade up, but 23, if Minnesota doesn't take another quarterback, is the last team that's going to take one, I think, in the from between 23 and 34. So I think for New England, might be in good position.
Yeah, Dallas isn't, Green Bay isn't, Tampa Bay isn't, Arizona's not, Buffalo's not, Detroit's not, Baltimore's not, San Francisco's not, Kansas City's not. So, yeah,
barring a trade of somebody
else. And who's going to trade up? Denver can't. They don't have a second-round pick. They can't trade back into the first. I mean, if the Vikings are taking a quarterback, they're taking a quarterback. I think Vegas, that's a hefty – be a very hefty price to pay. I think New England, if you're going to – you don't need to trade in the first. You just aren't going to do it.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. All right. So that's going to do it for tonight's edition of the Draft Countdown Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for watching along live, and thanks for all those great questions. Final thoughts, Shane. We mentioned earlier staff mock, live mock draft coming up on next Wednesday's show. You've got another seven-rounder coming out on Monday.
Yeah. I'm going to be digging in tomorrow and getting that set up, and It's not going to be bold. So it's not.
This is not going to happen.
No.
And this will be your second to last mock draft of the cycle.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yep. And then we'll have all of our final mock drafts will be out around draft day. So getting those last ones in, that will be we have seen my second to last mock draft already. My next one will be the last of this cycle. And then we'll all have 25 mocks out within a day or two of
the 24 drafts.
Yes. Seven rounder.
Turning that page, getting the countdown clock turned over and everything else.
I have it Sunday. Whenever we have it, the day after, I'll be ready Sunday or Monday. So seven round 2025.
So that's going to do it. Like I said, for tonight's edition of the Draft Countdown Podcast. If you're new to come across the channel tonight for the first time on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Like the videos and all that good stuff. If you're listening to this on an audio platform, be it Spotify or Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review there and share it out. Let everybody know where you can listen to this good program each and every week. You can follow me on Twitter @DeepFriedDraft. Follow Shane @ShanePHallam. Follow Draft Countdown @DraftCountdown.
and go to draftcountdown.com for all of your daily NFL draft needs. For Shane, I'm Brian. Good night, everybody.